trying to get to know the audience a little bit here. So if you live in Jacksonville, or if you're a Jacksonville person, you raise your hands.
Oh, wow. That's good. Duval. Yes, all right. Okay, good, good.
Well, we live up by the in Ocean Way, up by the airport. Okay, so if you're home, I get with some of the students from the different campuses when they're home. We have any Brevard County people? I did this last time. Brevard County, yeah, whoop. Not too many here today. Yeah, there's not too many of us here today. I don't know how many of you remembered last time I was here speaking? And what did I do? Gave you a wow pill, didn't I? Yeah, I had the wow pill. Yeah, if you remember now about the wow pill. So hopefully you'll, if the people don't know what that is, you'll have to tell them. Okay. So my wife and I, Patty Stan. So my wife's very cross-culturally sensitive, except tonight. Stand up again. She's not very, you can see there, she's wore her Clemson Tiger outfit here. So we were in Clemson. Clemson was a fun place. We enjoyed our time in Clemson, small town. And there's a lot of neat things about a small town. There's not so much, some other not so neat things about a small town, but we enjoyed it there. But we live in Jacksonville. I grew up in Satellite Beach in the Brevard County, and we are both University of South Florida grads and in Tampa. So Tampa, we lived in Tampa quite a while as well. So we're going to look at the scriptures tonight. We're going to look at, you think about long time ago. You think, wow, Jesus, man, that was long time ago. It was almost 2,000 years ago. Well, that's just about halfway back to where we're going to look. So we're actually going to look another 2,000 years behind Jesus at a man called Abraham. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to look at these. I'm going to have you read these passages. So if you turn to Genesis, this talk is about Abraham and the promises. And so we're going to look at the four of the promises that God gave to Abraham. And then we're going to look and see what Paul said about those. And we're going to see how the faith that Abraham can sort of apply to our lives. So I'm asking for volunteers to read that. Somebody read Genesis 12, 1 through 3 right here. Okay, one of the things when you study the Bible, you look for repeated words. What's a repeated word in there? Bless. Oh, man, that's a smart group. Okay, good. So bless. So you need to, that's one word. Somebody read the next one. 15, 4 through 7. Any thoughts there? Anybody have any thoughts on that passage? We'll just take some general thoughts. Anything strike you as you read that? Okay, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Yep. That was a promise for the future. So that's another. Okay, go ahead next. Somebody read the next one. A little bit longer. Yep. Okay, let me stop you. I'm a teacher. So what happens, ideas are just going through my brain all the time. So one of the things is, in this one, read the first phrase. Now, back here, you know how old Abraham was in 12, 1 through 3? If you look down about verse 7 on the Bible, verse 11, it tells you how old he is. Okay, good to make that. Okay. In chapter 16, we know that he's 85. So then here he's in his 80s. Okay, so we'll come back to that just to help you think through on this. Okay, read on. Okay, stop right here. Repeated word there? Yeah, you see that. Okay, keep going. Okay, repeated word there. Last paragraph. What do you see? In the
descendants.
Yeah. So I tell people one of my favorite sandwiches is BLT. This is BLD. Blessing, land, descendants. And that's the idea of nations, okay? So this is, in all those promises, that's what's prominent, okay? So we're going to need to keep that in mind. God's promised him he's going to bless him, okay? He's going to give him land, and he's going to give him descendants. And then, and parallel with that is this idea of many nations, okay? You can't have many nations, right? So that's when he's 99. When he's 99, God's promised him all these descendants. How many kids does he have? Well, he actually has one, but it's from the wrong woman. OK, okay? So he has zero because the promised child was going to come through him and Sarah, okay? So if you know the story, this promise is made when he's 99. Then when he's 100, he has a kid. Then we go to Genesis 22. And in Genesis 22, God tells him to sacrifice Isaac. And as if you study this passage, one of the things he does, he has wood for the altar, and he gives it to Isaac to help carry it. So from that, Isaac's probably at least 12 years old. Okay, so he's 112 or older at this time. And so here's the kid, Isaac, and what does God tell him to do? Sacrifice him. So Abraham says, okay. Doesn't make a lot of sense. He probably didn't say that. But he goes to sacrifice Isaac, and what happened? And I think the angel probably did like this as well. You know, sort of helped. Caught it just in time, okay? So he doesn't kill him. And then he gives this promise. Okay, so there you have the blessing. You have descendants. You have cities. You have the offspring. You have the nations. Okay? So as you think about the life of Abraham, how would you like to get this promise? You think about this. You get this promise when you're 75. And then, you know, 5 or 6 years go by, and you get this promise again. You have these kids. And then another 19 years go by, and you're 99, and you've had this promise for 24 years. And then God says, okay, we're going to do this a little bit quicker. In a year, you're going to have a kid. So then you have this kid, and he's 12, and God says, let's go kill this kid. How would you be feeling, you know, emotionally? And what would you be thinking about? Okay. So I've been thinking about that. Just how long a time that has been going on for Abraham. Okay, so that's the Genesis picture. Now pass down those sheets that you've got at your table now. Okay. So let's pray together again. Okay, we're gonna ask God. Because as I think about here, okay, I'm talking to college students in the year 2012. How can something 4,000 years old help these people? Ever think about that? How can somebody's life that was 4,000 years ago help somebody in 2012? Think, wow, that's crazy. But it's not really. Let's pray. Lord, would you guide and direct us, even as we sang those songs about you being the same and not changing, and so that this has something to apply to us as we think about you being able to help people 4,000 years ago and you being able to help us today. So guide us in your name. Amen. All right, so you're going to do a little work. This is a school. I'm a teacher. You're students. So you get a pen or a pencil out, and the instructions tell you to. And this is pretty easy. You go read through here, underline the word promise. Put a box or a, what is that called? Rectangle around descendants, and circle faith. Now, if you're talking when I'm talking right now and do it wrong, we're going to be in big trouble. So don't do that. Underline promise, box in descendants, circle faith. The first one's done for you. Okay? Go. Okay, who can tell me? Now, some of these would be hard, so if you don't know the answer to these, don't feel bad. What's the theme or the theme verses for the book of Romans? Okay, what's Romans 1:16 say? This is the problem. When you answer a question, then you get another question. And then verse 17 says, maybe we got that memorized. You should memorize that one. For in it, talking about the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, just as it is written, the righteous man shall live by faith. So the book of Romans is about the righteousness of God. Sometimes you'll hear the idea of justification by faith, okay? So justification by faith or the righteousness of God. So Paul spends chapters 1, 2, and 3, showing people that they're just rotten. Chapter 1 is really rotten people. Chapter 2 is the people are rotten, not as rotten as the chapter 1 people. And the chapter 3 people are still rotten, but not as bad as the 2 and 1 people. But they're all rotten because we have Romans 3:23, which says... Ah, you wonder why that was in there. Yeah, that's the conclusion of that section, okay, of chapters 1, 2, and 3. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We were out sharing the gospel this afternoon. That's one of the verses. And I asked the guy, has everybody sinned? Is that guy over there? Has he sinned? Has that guy over there sinned? And the guy goes, yeah, everybody sinned. And they fall short of where God wants them to be. Okay? So that's Romans 1, 2, and 3. Okay? Chapter 4 then, oh, it's the chapter we're in now. Actually, the transition takes place in 3:21 through 3:28, where Paul begins talking about justification by faith. And so he spends that section talking about that. Then in chapter 4 is Abraham and justification. So he goes to the Old Testament to prove that these Old Testament guys are saved by faith just as we are. And he spends a whole chapter talking about Abraham. Okay? So that's the Apostle Paul choosing a guy out of the Old Testament to show this about this. And so the first phrase there, then this is the sort of transition to the, this is the transition where Paul begins talking about the promise. So the first verse 13 says what? For the promise to Abraham or to his descendants that he would be an heir of the world. So if you draw a line over the top there from promise to heir. Because the promise is about that. What does that word mean? What does the word heir mean? What other words do you think of when you hear the word heir? Inherit. Very good. So this is related to inheritance. And when we think of that, when do you usually receive an inheritance? Yeah, when somebody dies or something, but it's the passing on of the goodies usually, isn't it? Okay, of the things. I know we've talked about this. You know, some people say, you know, have a little vase and say, give this to Ellen after I die, you know, or something, you know, or the kids will go and say, when you die, you know, little kids, when you die, can I have that? You know, that kind of stuff. So that's inherited. So here it says, for the promise to Abraham or his descendants that he would be an heir of the world. So draw a line from world down to verse 17. See that word in the middle? Nations. Draw a line there from world to nations, verse 17. Then draw a line from 17 down to verse 18 where it's talking about nations again. Okay, see that? Okay. Because when we were reading, there's the word world is in verse 13, the word nations in 17, and the word nations in verse 18. Because you remember, when we were reading in Genesis, it was about blessing, it was about land, and it was about descendants and nations. And so Paul in this section, is the emphasis is on the descendants, okay? The descendants, they're going to be heirs. And so how are they going to be heirs in verses? So I've got this broken down into paragraphs, 13 through 15. What's the emphasis here? Talk to the people in your group. What is the emphasis on 13 to 15? Talk to people next to yourself. We're going to do this real quick. I'll give you 30 seconds. Go. Okay, what do we got? This group here, they're up front. You know, don't know whether they're trying to be, you know how people sit up front all the time. But tell us what you guys got, because I heard a little bit.
We said promise and law.
Okay. Promise and law are mentioned often. How are they there? In what aspect? In contrast to one another. Okay. So is the promise by law? No. Because if it were of the law, what would that mean? Faith would be nullified. So it's interesting, we were out sharing the gospel today, when you ask people questions about, you know, what a Christian is, or what's people who are good, it's people, and it basically comes into works, doesn't it? You know, so it's just fascinating, as you share the gospel with people, and you talk about that everyone sinned, And we, you know, we draw the bridge illustration, and there's this cliff, and you can't reach God, but people still give what answer? Works. It's works. It's works.
Okay?
That's just interesting.
Okay?
So Paul is knocking down that idea. Is it going to be by law? No, because then the promise gets what?
Okay?
Because the promise, when you think of a promise, you think also think gift. Okay, that'll help you. When you think of a promise, you're thinking of something that's given. Okay, 16 through 17. Somebody read that for me real loud. Yep. 16, and I'll interrupt you as you do it. Okay, what are we going to say? The it. Circle the it. Circle the, what is the it? This reason it. The inheritance. The promise is related to the inheritance, isn't it? Yeah, so the idea of the... So if you think of promise and inheritance as together, okay? So for this reason, it is by faith. Go ahead. Okay, talk about that. Talk about that a few minutes. What stands out to you there in that passage? Okay, comments or questions? You might have some questions about this too. Comments. If your group seemed like you were doing pretty good, give me your comment. If your group was confused, you probably should keep quiet. Yeah. So that's interesting, isn't it? Faith and grace are together. Law and works are together. Faith and grace are together here. Okay, good. And it's guaranteed to all the descendants. Okay, when Paul's thinking about descendants, there's different kinds of descendants here. Okay? And those capital letters, that's a quote. That's Genesis 17:5. So you can write that by that, Genesis 17:5. So that's actually from Genesis 17. Now notice this last phrase. So one of the things we want to think about Abraham, okay? Let's see how we do this. Yeah. What's important in faith? What's the key? The object. Yeah, so the key for faith is the object of the faith. Okay? So our faith is in God. So as we read through this passage, one of the things we want to think about, okay, what is God like? Okay? See, because the promise is only as good as the promisor, the one that makes the promise. Okay? So if I say, come out, you know, I sometimes use this illustration. I won't use this illustration. We'll move on. It's a good illustration, but we'll do it some other time. Okay, so this last phrase, this last one is a character of God deal. Who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. Who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. That's what God's like. He calls into being things which do not exist.
So one of the ways we could say this, faith or the promise, it's apart from sight even. He calls into things which do not exist. Okay. So, that's character of God. Now, Paul comments now, 18, this is the key section, 18 through 22 now is our key section here. Because this is going to show you into the inner thinking of Abraham. And I'll read this. In hope against hope, he believed. So that, and I usually put little brackets when I see so that's, I usually put little brackets by that because it helps me know, oh, this is a cause and effect thing. So that he might become a father of many nations according to what had been spoken. So everywhere you've got, what do you got, promise circled?
Or what, how is promise? Faith is circled. Promise is?
Underline. Okay, I've got a different way in different versions here. Underline that spoken. Okay.
because God spoke something to Abraham, so that's also a promise. So shall your descendants be. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead. So one of the things I do, you can go up in verse 17 and do your hand like that around the word dead, and it makes it look different. I usually use colored pencils, but you don't have those colored pencils. So if you do your hand like this, then it looks sort of squiggly, or put brackets around it. So there's dead is mentioned there, and now in 19, Abraham, he's looking at his body, and he is how old? He's about 100, and he's saying, I'm dead. Man, I've been dead. You know, he'd been dead a long time, no kids. And then he looked at Sarah. She's dead too. So she's dead. She had no kids. At least he had one kid back 15, 20 years ago. But him and Sarah, dead. Okay, there's another dead. So you see what's happening here? He's sitting there thinking, I am. My wife is. Doesn't look good, does it? Descendants? None. Nada. Yet. I think I made a little, that word separated, isn't it, with a comma. Yet. I'm dead. Sarah's dead. Yet. With respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore, it was also credited to him as righteousness. That's Genesis 15:6. If you study the book of Genesis, which I highly recommend, and which I have people do, if they're around me, I make them study the book of Genesis. So if you see people running, going, oh, my head is hurting. That's Candace. See, that was a personal joke. We know that one. So what happens is, here's Abraham. I've lost my train of thought completely. Yeah, so he's looking at everything's being dead. Oh, I know what I was thinking about. This is Genesis 15:6. If you study Genesis 12, 13, and 14, God speaks to Abraham. Abraham never says anything. I don't know if you've noticed that. Read through there. You never see Abraham talking to God. Then it's Genesis 15, God shows up. He says, hey, Abraham, man, great to see you. Your reward is going to be great. You're going to be great. And Abraham says, listen, I have no kids. The guy that's going to inherit everything is the guy that is, in Africa we would say my Shamba boy. It's the guy that works my garden. He's going to get everything. So the first time that Abraham talks to God is when he's saying, man, this is sort of messed up. How can I? I'm going to. And so God takes him out. Do you remember the story where he does? He takes him outside. Middle East, no lights. Look at the stars. Oof. Wow. He says, so shall your descendants be. So at that moment, Abram at that time had a choice. Then he could say, okay, let's see. And see, he was only in his 80s then. Okay? He had a choice. God said, look at the stars. That's what your descendants are. Innumerable, immeasurable. And Abraham had a choice. And you know what it says in Genesis 15:6? And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned or credited to him as righteousness. That's one of the most famous verses in the Bible. It's repeated in Romans. It's repeated in Galatians. It's repeated in the book of James. When Paul talks about saving faith, that's what he talks about. Believing God when God told him about this descendants. He trusted the promise. So what I do, what I have from this one is part from the facts. Because the facts were, Abraham is, Sarah is, to take two dead people, still dead. Dead plus dead does not bring alive. Okay, so they are dead. But notice what happens here. This is a topical memory system verse. If you've not memorized topical memory system, this is in there, okay? But look what happens. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver. He did not stagger in unbelief. Because he could have said, no, this is not going to work. He didn't do that. But it said he grew strong in faith. He looked at himself and said, this is impossible. Wow, God is in charge of the impossible. That's good, because I can't do anything here. I'm stuck. Sarah's stuck. We can't do anything. Wow, he grew strong in faith. And then what did he do? He says, wow, I'm going to give glory to God. Because this is going to be a God thing. This is going to be an amazing God thing. Being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. So we're going to learn a little Swahili. So, say Mungu. That means God. Mungu means God. Okay, you don't need to say that, sorry. And then Anaweza. Ana is the prefix, and weza is the verb. He is able. Mungu anaweza. So, when you're in trouble, when you're in a situation, you can always say, Mungu anaweza. And then that'll make you feel better. And people won't know what you're saying. Okay? But I use this because that's the conclusion that Abraham came up with. That God is able. Now we got the Swahili people thinking Swahili. God is able. Anybody know Ephesians 3:20? Yep. He is able to do immeasurably more. Or the New American says, exceedingly abundantly beyond. Notice those words. Exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. God is able. Mungu anaweza. God is able. So, he tells him that. And then he says, then it was credited. Okay, so Abraham had a bank account. It was empty. Nothing in it. Then God credits Abraham with righteousness. Righteous. Now his bank account is full. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, let's quote that one for me. Key verse on in the Bible on justification by faith. God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. See, we not only get our sins taken away, that's subtraction of sin, we have the addition of the righteousness of Christ added, credited to our account. So when you are a non-believer, if you went to the bank account, you were in debt for like billions. You were busted, okay? Because it was all sin. On the cross, Jesus emptied that out, brought your balance back up to zero, and then dropped several trillion in. That's a good deal, wasn't it? Yeah. He took our sin and imputed or credited his righteousness to us. And that's what he did to Abraham. And this next section says this. Now, not for his sake only was it written that was credited to him, Abraham, but for our sake, to whom it will be credited as those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, he who was delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. So the same faith righteousness that Abraham had, we have when we trust Christ. It's credited to us. And so that's what this is talking about. And so that's why Abraham is key to the thing. Because it was before the law, is apart from the law, is apart from sight, is apart from the facts. Because when you were out there as an unbeliever, and there may be unbelievers here tonight, Ephesians 2:1 says, and you were dead in your transgressions and sins. You're dead. Dead people don't do anything. They're just dead. But you're made alive through Christ. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, for by grace you're saved through faith, not of yourselves. Again, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not as a result of works, lest they mention boast. So, this is what happens. So, how can you put this into practice? I'll share a little story about something. One of the things that I think about, or particularly when we were in Africa, I was thinking about the nations, okay? We were in Kenya. We were in western Kenya. We were near the Uganda border. And I sat down at our staff meeting, and I looked, and I said, oh, there's a Mike Mutungi. He's a Kikuyu. Dennis Tongoi, he's a Luya. And Nolo War, he's a Luo. And Irene Tongoi is a Tveta. And then I'm an American. And I'm looking at all these people, and I'm thinking, we're living in a Kalenjin area, and we don't have any Kalenjin navigators around. It's all these people from these other tribes. And so we had a prayer meeting that day. And one of the things we prayed was, I think we prayed for laborers, Matthew 9, 35 through 38. But then we also prayed 2 Thess 3:1. It says, Paul's praying, may that the word of the Lord, 2 Thess 3:1, this is a great verse, that the word of the Lord may spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it also did with you. So I said, let's pray that the word of the Lord would spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it also did with you. And let's pray that God would give us some Kalenjin believers, because that was the tribal group we were living by. So I said, God, would you give us some Kalenjin believers? So Noel, the Luo guy, and I, we went out to this school where there was one of his brother and another buddy of his were teaching. And I had known the people out there, and I got them teaching jobs at this school. And so I went out there, and we were talking. I said, what are we going to do here at the campus? Could we work with high school students? I said, well, let's start something with the freshmen. I said, let's start something with the freshmen. So we broke these. I think we had 25. It was an all-men school. So we had 25 freshmen. We broke them up into, I think, three or four groups, and we started reading the Bible with them and doing Bible study. And we did that, I don't know, for 6-8 weeks. I can't remember. And almost all those guys came to Christ. And then I got the list of their names, and it was Kip Ruto, Kip Sang, Kip Limo. And those are all Kalenjins. Those are all Kalenjin names. And so all of these Kalenjin guys came to Christ. And then when we went back, 15 years later, 16 years later, and we had a reunion, and these guys were there, and the teachers were there. And actually, one of the teachers came to Christ, but he was a Luo, so he didn't count. We threw him back. But God was just working mightily. You know, the word of the Lord spread rapidly. And one of the things I was thinking about, you know, God wants the nations reached. That's why we're here. That's why we came to Christ. When he was talking to Abraham, he was thinking about people in Tallahassee, Florida. That was long ago. But he told him, look up there. And I was looking up. Oh, there I am right over there. That's my star. Well, Abraham was looking, and that's me. So you could do that. When you go out tonight, pick one. Don't pick the brightest one because that one's mine. But pick one and go, say, there I am. Abraham was looking there, and here I am. Because you're one of them. If you think about that, wow. When Abraham looked, we're descendants. In Galatians 3, Paul talks about the same thing. And he talks to the Galatians, and in Galatians
4, he says, and you, I think it's 28, and you, brethren, like Isaac, are children of promise. He says, you guys are just like Isaac. You're a child of promise. Because Isaac was a child of promise. He was something God promised. You're one of God's children by promise. And it's because of Abraham. And so how this applies to us, we have that same faith, okay, for salvation, but we also have it for other things as well. As we look at how to live, we should be like Abraham and not go, wow, man, this test is hard. I don't know if I... That's small fry stuff, really. I hate to tell you. We're talking about God of the universe that calls things into being that weren't there before, that brings life to the dead. I think we ought to be praying a little bit bigger than, wow, can I pass this one chemistry test? Even if we fail it, it's probably not the end of the world, is it? Probably will be for some people, but but if you think about it, we need to get a God-sized perspective on life and begin praying and thinking like God can do stuff. And not stagger. But the harder, see, this is what gets me about Abraham. The harder it was, the more Abraham got excited. He said, wow, this is impossible. It's going to have to be a God thing. And so he says, I give glory to God. I give glory to God. So that's the kind of people. And you can do that now. You can do that as a student. You don't have to wait till you're 99. You know, you don't have to wait that long. You can begin living that out because you're a child of promise. And you have the same God that Abraham had. You got the same promises, except he only had like Genesis 1 through 11. I mean, he didn't have a whole lot. We've got this whole book. Okay? 2 Corinthians 1:20. As many as may be the promises of God in him, in Jesus, they are yes. You ever hear that verse? 2 Corinthians 1:20. As many as may be the promises of God, in him they are yes. Wow, we're children of the King. We're part of that heritage that goes back to Abraham. We'll get in that long line and be greeting all our descendants. And when you get there, if you see some little African guys named Kipruto and Kipto and these Kip names, say, oh, are you one of those little guys that was at Chevisos High School? And they say, no, I'm his third cousin. And I came to Christ because this guy came to Christ. And my other cousin came to Christ. And the chain just keeps spreading that way. But we have the same God that Abraham had. Same God. And we have the same promises, plus. And we just need to grab hold of them. And then give glory to God. Don't go around and say, well, you should see what I did. My wife and I, we had a baby. We'd been waiting. No, no, no. He didn't do that, did he? He said, no, man, give glory to God. If great things happen, give glory to God. Okay? Because he's the one that's making them happen. You know, he's using you as a vessel. And he'll use you mightily if you want to be used. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the scriptures here and talks about you. And how great you are, how powerful you are. We're grateful that we're part of your kingdom. We're part of your descendants. And would you help us to use our little faith? I just think of all the time Jesus is talking about faith. If you have faith, even as mustard seed, you'll do great things. And so would you help us to act out, to walk in faith, and to believe that you can do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. And so we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.